All right, good morning. Let's pray. Let me pray for us. Lord God, would you awaken your people? Would you awaken this city, Fairfax County, Loudoun County? God, would you awaken this country? Would you awaken the globe, God? We are a stiff-necked people, God, and you know that. But you're so good, you're so kind and patient. And so I pray, God, we pray, we invite you, God, to come and lead your people, God. Be patient and kind and stir. And we pray for your word. We pray for the Spirit of God. Without it, this is all empty, God. And so, God, we need you. God, not to us, not to us, but to your name, God. The name of Jesus Christ would be all the glory. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sister Ceci from the Hispanic Church, I don't see her. She's supposed to give a testimony about 15 minutes into my sermon. So I hope she's here. I hope she remembered. I texted her yesterday and today. But just in case she doesn't, it'll be a short sermon. So if you could turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. We're coming to the close of the book of Ephesians, maybe two or three more sermons, perhaps. And this is Paul's letter. This is God's word to the church of Ephesus. It's a young church, new believers. So people are getting saved, people are coming to Christ, they're laying down their idols, they're repenting, they're giving their lives to Jesus Christ, and then they're trying to figure out how to live. They're trying to figure out how to live in this world. Because as John prayed and shared, there's a lot that we face. There's a lot that you face at home, there's a lot that you face at work. You go to the grocery store, you just drive on the street for 10 minutes. There's a lot that you face. There's a lot that you face, and people got places to go and things to do, and, you know, and we get a little beaten up and a little bruised, and God is, he has words for that. He has his voice. He has words for us and me and how to live in a way that honors him and loves our neighbor. So let me read for us Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, don't provoke your children with anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, or slaves, or workers, I think everyone here is a worker, obey your earthly master with fear and trembling and with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, bosses, supervisors, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there's no partiality with him. Amen. I'm going to read it again, but I want you to pay special attention to what God commands. And the reason God commands the things that God commands is because we don't want to do what God commands. We don't want to obey. We don't want to submit. We don't want to love our parents. We don't want to honor them. We don't want to serve that boss or that authority. So let's pay special attention to what God is, his command, his instruction, and his words for his children and his people. Okay? And let me read it again. Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor them. Honor your mother and your father. This is the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers in the room, and myself, don't provoke your children with anger, but instead bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Servants and workers, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, don't brown nose, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service as good will as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters and bosses and supervisors and managers, do the same. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. When God commands things, when he gives us instruction, he tells us to love, to lay down our lives, to love our enemies, love your spouses, serve your children, you know, love your neighbor, love one another. He's coming up against a heart issue. So what is the heart issue? What do you think is the heart issue that God is coming up against? What do you think it is that God is, he's coming up against something? We have authority issues. I have authority issues. We have issues being under authority. And we have issues being in positions of authority. We don't like authority. That's Genesis chapter 3, the fall. Eve saw the fruit that was good, that it would make her wise in her own eyes. We don't need to submit to God's authority. Let me be wise on my own. I got good plans. I can make a good life for myself. 4 weeks ago, I talked about the biblical definition of pride. And I said there are at least three things. There's a lot more, but there are at least three things, three dimensions of the biblical definition of pride. And I have them back up on the screen. Okay. Number one is independence. Willful, controlling, and a desire to be thine own God. You and I, we don't want God telling us what to do. I want to do what I want to do. That's called independence. That's at the heart of sin and pride. Arrogance, an inflated view of one's ability and accomplishments, right? It's about us. We're the best. We did it. And three, self-righteousness. A haughty, inflated view of oneself, minimizing, burying our own flaws, right? We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it. while devaluing others and criticizing their flaws and failures. It's about position, right? That's what I said. Pride is about position. We want higher ground so that we can feel great about ourselves. So when we talk about authority and our issues with authority, it's about pride. We don't want people telling us what to do because maybe they don't deserve to tell us what to do. That's at the heart of what God is getting at. And the reason he has to command it in love is because one of the greatest places to be is humble before God, is low. There's a book by the Puritans that Nate occasionally will read. I got it for him, actually, because that's why he's reading it. It's called Valley of Vision. And it's by the Puritans hundreds of years ago. It's devotionals, it's poems, it's, you know, psalms type things that they write, hymns. And on the very first page, and the reason why the book is called The Valley of Vision is you gotta be low to see God. The way up of ascent to God is the way down. He has to increase and we must decrease. They're directly related, right? They're inversely, like, you gotta go, if you wanna go up and you wanna see the glory of God, you gotta go down. Amen. And God's taken us there. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard because it's dying and I don't want to die. So God says in verse 1 and 2, children, obey your parents. Honor them. And we want to put conditions on it, right? I want to put conditions on that. So, well, they're not very Christian. Well, they're not very nice. Well, there's a lot of traumatic stuff that they did. Well, they weren't very good parents. They mistreated us and abused us, perhaps. Maybe they were absent. Maybe you don't even know your parents. In other words, they don't deserve that. But God says, obey and honor. God says in verse 5, bondservants, obey your earthly masters. Most of the bosses that I've had were pretty horrible. And especially when I worked at larger companies, I'm just a resource number on their, you know, in their accounting. They don't really care about me. They care what I produce, that I produce a billable hour, that I bring in revenue, right? And it says, workers, obey your master with a sincere heart. Do you believe God can do anything that he wants to do? Can I get an amen? Like, do we agree with that? Like, amen. God can do anything that he pleases. That's what scripture says. Okay? So if he wants a blue or a pink tree, he will get a blue or a pink tree. Right? He can do anything. And the great thing about that is that he's good. If he can do anything, then he can put any authority over you and I. Trump is in office by the hand of God. Amen. Biden before that, Obama for two before that, George W. for two before that. Putin rules because God allows him to rule. Do you think that's out of God's control? So when we have authority over us, it's there because God put it there. and he can do anything he wants. So the reason God commands us to obey our authority and to be good examples of authority is because God put it there. We're not submitting to them. We're submitting to God. God gave you your parents. I'm sorry if that's bad news. He did. He could have given you any parents. I'm serious. He could have given you godlier parents. He could have given you more loving parents, more patient, less abusive, more present. And you have exactly the parents that God wants you to have. And it's hard. But God did it, and he's good. He's a good God. So when you submit to authority, you're submitting to God. Let me show that to you in the text. Ephesians 5 through 7, chapter 6, 5 through 7. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. You're not submitting to them, you're submitting to him. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ. So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, you do it for the glory of God. You don't do it for them. You don't do it necessarily to get that promotion. You don't do it for positioning. That's what everyone else does. You work hard in secret for the Lord. Doing the will of God from the heart. It is the will of God that all the authority exists over us. So you do his will. You submit to his will. Rendering service, that means laying down your life with a good will, as to the Lord, not to man. I know. I've talked about my boss a lot up here sometimes, and I feel bad about that when I was reading this. We are excellent in everything we do for the Lord. We do it for him. Because he sees you. He sees it. And we need to be reminded of that. He sees what no one else sees. So when you put in a little bit of those extra hours, when you talk to that coworker and you reach out to them even though no one asked you to, and it's not going to, you know, show up on your performance review or whatever, right? You're just doing it in love. God sees that. And he's good. He's good. So let me invite our sister, Ceci. I asked her to come and give a short testimony. Amen. About her relationship with her father. And she shared it with a few of us. And let's pray for her as she's up there. Let's pray for the Spirit to use her testimony to encourage us. Okay? So yeah, let's invite our sister.
Hello, my brothers and my sisters. For you, you don't know who I am. My name is Ceci. I am a child of God. Jesus loved us, and God sent him to the earth to pay our penalty to our the sins, and restore us from and change us from inside to out. And do you know why he did that? Because he loves us. There are 13 parts of our background and constitution over which we don't have any control. God never consults us before selecting our parents. Why he didn't do that? But he's perfect. He's perfect. He didn't ask us what kind of color or hair we are going to have, what height we are going to have, what nationality we are going to have, even what kind of shoes can I wear. It's difficult for me to find horizontal shoes. I wear big shoes, I had to put something inside because my feet is small. But he didn't ask me. Why? Because he has everything in control. This will determine that God's time, everything what we are and what we have, he determined us before we were conceived in the womb of our mothers. Psalm 139, 13 to 16, for you form me my in parts, unite me together in my mother womb. Knowing this, we are often led to conclusion that our terrible journey we don't have in control. We don't have anything in control. Brothers and sisters, when my father was dying, I told my sister, who passed away already 3 years ago, and this month is 3 years ago, she asked me when I got to see my daddy. And I replied, never. He needs to die. He hurt me so much. I won't forgive him. And I didn't talk with her anymore about it. But inside of me, I saw like movies how my father betrayed my mother and betrayed me because I was sleeping with him. When I was little, I loved to sleep with him. And he left. My mother has a very strong transformation because of it. She was a bitter and very aggressive person. She had no mercy and tortured us verbally, physical, and emotional. She treated us with anger, and she was telling us because we are my father's daughters. For this reason, I really hate my father. And also hate him because I thought that all his money and prestige and had what he has was ours also. Not knowing that the web of my father, God, was from God. And he allowed my father to obtain all the riches that he has and was belong to him, nothing was belong to me. But I was thinking that whatever was my father has was mine. And the Lord said, no, it's not. He was a lawyer with money, prestige, and he was very famous in that time in Ecuador. You know what? My father was very handsome also. I didn't know that until the day that he was dying, because I never saw his face. I always talk with my face down, and I always told him he is right, even if he was not right. I mentioned to my sister, I don't want to visit my daddy. And please don't mention to me that I need to see him. But they, because God has mercy to me, he sent Jesus to my heart. And Jesus Christ gave me the Holy Spirit, who talked to me and said you had to visit your daddy. But before I do, and I start to speak with the Holy Spirit and with myself, I was so angry. And I said, you don't remember all the things that he did, how painful it was? You don't remember what kind of man he is? You forgot, Jesus? How you asked me to go and visit him? Jesus told me, you know what? I said, what? I am your perfect mother. I am your perfect daddy. The one who never gonna leave you or forsake you. But for you to come to this earth, I chose those two people as your parents. I said, you did? He said, yes. Because before I form you, you and the womb, I know you. I know you before you were born, and I said, apart. He chose me. But he needed two people for me to come to this earth. I didn't want to be there, Dora, but the Lord did. Now go visit your father, the Spirit said to me. I am protest, like Ananias protest to the Lord when he said, go and see Paul. Acts 9:13. No, don't tell me that I need to go and visit my daddy. Lord, please, no, don't tell me. And he said, go. Brothers and sisters, I understood that just a Christ for God's soul. I must also forgive my daddy, my mother, and other people who caused me pain yesterday. I must go visit my father today and forgive the father of yesterday, because God will clean and change people with his power. And he did, like he did with Paul, with me. And you know what? He wants to do with you today. I said, dear Lord, I cannot do it. But if you can help me, here I am. Here I am. I don't remember how I went to the hospital, but I know that when I opened the door of the room that he was in the hospital and very sick, dying, he saw me and he said, Dora, forgive me for the things that I did, please. And I replied, I don't have anything to forgive you. And he said, yes, you have. Forgive me because you are not going to see me anymore. I am dying. I said to him, do you know that through Jesus Christ I can see you again? And he said, what? I said, through Jesus Christ I can see you again. And he said, you don't know Jesus? And he said, yes, the Son of Mary. I said, yeah, but he is the Lord, and he is our Savior, and he is restoring us, and he can give you eternal life if you want to. He said, help me, please. I want to go to heaven. I know that I will see my father over there when I will leave this temporary house. I know he's there. Let me share something with you parents and future parents. Share your love toward your kids. It's very important. The Lord can heal. And let me share this. A 16-year-old patient was dying in at Children's Hospital the day that I was working with him. When his father arrived, I told him, I'm so sorry, but there's nothing else that we can medically can do for your son. I am very sorry. He stood out in the doorway and could not come in. I told him, your son can hear you. Speak to him. Tell him you are here. Tell him that you love him. And he said, no, I cannot. I asked him why. He said, because nobody told me that they love me. I said, we are in the same boat. He said, what? I told him, that's the matter, nobody told you. Or that's the matter, nobody told us that they love us. But Jesus loves us, and we are here with a purpose. And today, your son wants to hear you. He can hear you. Please approach to him. And he said, please help me. I said, yeah, I will go with you. He went on his knees. He took his son's hand, and he said, and he was weeping, son, I love you. And forgive me because I couldn't tell you before that I love you. Please don't die. And he was weeping and weeping. I spoke to them. I knew that the patient was hearing me. And I spoke to them that just through Jesus, he can change their heart and he can have eternal life. Let me tell you, this patient apparently was dying next day, but he was alive for one more year because he heard his father loves him. Let us do the same with our parents, brothers and sisters. Let's honor them, father and mother, which in the first commandment with promise, honoring us unto the Lord with respect and care, that is maybe well with thee, and live long and there. We will live long if we respect and honor our parents. Remember that Christ, he forgives us, and he forgives our parents also if we ask. A little recommendation, brothers and sisters. Tell your kids how much you love them. Tell them that they are very important for you because they are a special gift from the Lord to you. You are here just to be a steward and help them to grow up and help them to be the women or the men that he created to be. Please, please, take at least 5 minutes every single day, with each of your kids and talk to them and ask them how was their day. Don't wait for the day of family, for the family day. It's too long to wait a week. Speak every single day. God is first, then is your wife or your spouse, then is your kids. They need you. They need you. If they don't hear from you, they will hear from somebody else who is going to lie them and tell them wrong things and put a hate in their hearts. So please take a time and show them your love, because they have every single day problems, adventures, and joys that they need and they want to share with you. The rest I would like to ask my brother to read for me. Robert, please. As I said, I have an accident 3 years ago. I still have an ocular dysfunction. But I am glad that I can do now. A year ago, I was really bad. This is like a conclusion. Oh. A conclusion for I was talking.
Okay. Read the whole thing?
Yeah. Okay. It was not difficult for you.
No. Thank you, sister. Okay. Yeah. Just read it right here? Brothers and sisters, I want to share a story with you about the power and forgiveness of God's love. When my father was dying.
I told already.
Okay, so just which part? I'll never forget the day I decided to visit my father despite the pain he had caused me. Like Paul in Acts 9, I had a transformative encounter with God, and it changed everything. I realized that just as Christ forgave Saul, I needed to forgive my father and others who had hurt me. With God's help, I found the strength to visit my father in the hospital. As I entered his room, he looked up at me with tears in his eyes and said, "Daughter, forgive me for the things I did." I replied, "I have nothing to forgive," but he insisted, "If you do, please forgive me because I won't see you again." In that moment, I shared the love of Christ with my father. I told him about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. I explained that through faith in him, we can have eternal life. My father asked for help, and I was able to lead him to Christ. As I reflect on that moment, I'm reminded that God's ways and timing are not ours. He can use anyone to bring people to himself. I'm grateful that I'll see my father again in heaven, thanks to the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Okay. I want to share a powerful reminder with you. Tell your children you love them. Let them know they're a precious gift from God. Let us follow this example and show love and affirmation to those around us, especially our children. Remember, Christ is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us unconditionally. Let His love guide us to love others with the same kindness and compassion. Tell your loved ones you care about them. Share the love of Christ with those around you. Amen.
Thank you.
Let me close with this. Thank you, sister. And she said it, and I'm just going to say it in a different way. There's a verse, I'm just going to read it. I don't have it up here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it's one of the kings of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and he wants to seek God and live for God. And then these enemies come around him. It says the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Meunites were coming up against him and his people. And he was so overwhelmed. And so he begins to fast and pray. And he asks the people to fast and pray. And this is the end of his prayer. Oh God, for we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And Ceci said it. She said, God, I can't do it, but I need your help. And then there was the man who met Jesus, and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. God knows, right? But he's so good. And this is the power of the love of God. Do you see? Do you see how deep and wide and how broad, how much power there is? No government, no policy can change the human heart. But the love of God through the Spirit of God. And we are the light of the world. You and I have an opportunity every day to be the light of the love of God in this broken place. So let's bow our heads. Let's spend some time in prayer. Let me invite John. And let's start by just a prayer to God. God, help us to trust you. Let's pray for your parents. Thank you.
It is the love of God through the Spirit of God that can mend a broken heart. It's not you. It's not policy. It's not yelling. It's not guilt and shame. It is the transformative love of God through the Spirit of God. So let's pray. God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, God. Would you move in our parents, God? Would you move in our children, God? We don't know how to be good parents, God, but we look to you, God. You can do it, God. You be their Father. Let's pray for your boss, okay? He or she needs the love of Christ. Let's pray for God to move. He hears our prayers. He does. He does. Okay. Let's pray.